fuck is going on, DeGeneres? Sorry we missed you the last couple weeks, but it was my fault. Connectivity issues, internet issues, had to buy a whole new fucking router. Just one problem after another. So here we are. We're getting caught up with all of these fucking issues. Mainly, I don't know if you guys heard of it, COVID. And we're going into the playoffs. We're going to talk about all kinds of stuff. But first, let me introduce my co-host, the DFS degenerate, the commissioner himself, Mr. Eric DeFusco, and the dynasty degenerate, Mr. Steven Simpson. How you doing tonight, Steven?
Good, Brian. What's up, degenerates? Hopefully you survived the shitpocalypse that was playoff week one and made it into the semifinals. If not, sorry about your bad luck, but as always, next year. How you doing, Eric?
I'm doing pretty well. Snuck into the playoffs into the Degenerates League, and then my team decided to not show up in week 15, and my exit was quick.
Victim one of the shit.
At the hands of Brian.
So, I mean, obviously, it was sad to see the commissioner leave the playoffs. It was, I mean, not for me.
Nobody
for,
cares.
I'm sure a lot of them, you yeah. know. A lot
Believe
of them
me in the chat, nobody cares.
I don't think I've ever beat you before, Eric, in that
yeah, you
league.
Have. You beat me early in the season.
Oh, did I?
Yes. But you had a very long run of not beating me before that win. It was like a good 4 or 5 years or something. And it was my two worst weeks on the season. You were my bad luck charm. I scored like 62 points in the regular season matchup, and I scored like 78 last week. It was bad.
I felt pretty good about beating you, and then I realized that the playoffs reseed. So the way the bracket was formatted, I was supposed to face Mike this week. And I was like, oh, okay, perfect. I got a decent shot there. And then I realized they reseed. I'm the sixth seed. I'm like, oh, fucking Adisa.
Hey, at least
you got some, that is Adisa.
He's got some problems of his own, though. He's probably not going to have Tyreek Hill.
Oh yeah, no, we're gonna be talking about that.
No Leonard Fournette, so yeah. he's struggling too. Like he's not.
I was gonna say, at least you'd get him before he gets Henry back next week. So,
yeah, I was about to say. So, I mean, you know, he loses Derrick Henry, and me and Eric were talking at work. I'm like, well, that's it for his team, dude. Derrick Henry carries that fucking team, and then Lenny gets red hot. Tyreek Hill becomes Tyreek Hill, or the Chiefs become the Chiefs again, and Tyreek Hill's doing his thing. I'm like, God damn, dude, you can't hold a good man down, you know? But yeah, so that could all be changing real soon. But first, we're going to go over just a few notable injuries. You know, there's no reason to get too carried away because we're kind of past the point of making waiver claims. But just so you guys are aware, here it is.
The injury report.
So Austin Eckler was questionable going into this week with a high ankle injury. It was kind of 50-50, then bam, today he tests positive for COVID. Pretty much a lock, he's not going to play this week. So
he's vaccinated, and they're saying day-to-day, so it's still possible he can clear.
It's possible, but not likely.
Do you want to know how many players, vaxxed or not, have played the same week they tested positive this year?
Zero.
Not many.
Zero. Yeah. Zero. Not yeah, there hasn't been a player
I was going to say, it's did Wednesday. Like, if it was Monday, I might give it a little bit of breathing room, but
they were saying.
Did he test positive?
He tested positive today.
Yeah, it came out late this afternoon.
Oh, they did.
There was rumors that he was going to test positive already back on Monday. So
awesome. So going into the FDF Superflex playoffs, I have no Eckler and no Tyreek Hill. This is great.
Yep. Other than that, how's your team look?
Oh, no Brandon Cooks, too. So that's three guys.
We also got DeAndre Swift, who is a show favorite. He has an AC joint sprain in his shoulder. Probably not looking good for him to come back at all this season.
I think he's back this week. Last I saw, he's practicing.
Oh, that's right. That injury is like 2 weeks old. Yeah, this is old.
This should be week three.
Yeah, see what happens when we don't record for 2 weeks?
No, he should. He's trending in the direction to play. Let's put it that way. Which is good.
You'd think I would know that. I own DeAndre Swift everywhere. Like, Well, fucking, I have him in my eye.
You're
going to
be firing his ass up because everybody else is fucking hurt.
Oh, man. Yeah. We got Darren Waller, who I believe has missed the last 2 weeks and is questionable for Saturday.
Yeah, he's trending in the same direction to come back this week.
Perfect. Hawkinson went to IR, done for the season. Lamar Jackson has a low ankle sprain. He missed last weekend. He was a DNP on Wednesday, so it's not looking good for him. Kareem Hunt has COVID. He has an ankle injury, but they're saying that he looks good for week 17. We'll see.
Yeah.
We'll see what happens.
That was their initial timeline when he went out with the ankle was week 17. So you won't have him this week, but hopefully you have him if you make it to the finals.
We got AJ Brown, who could potentially play this week. We'll see what happens. Let's get to the absolute shit show that are the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. We got Mike Evans, hamstring, questionable for week 16. We got Chris Godwin, torn MCL, going to the IR. We got Fournette, who is out for week 16, probably the rest of the season. And Antonio Brown, who's coming back. I forged a vaccination card, coming back. I literally can't believe it. That blows my mind. You know, what Tom Brady wants, Tom Brady fucking gets, you know.
Did you read the story on that? It's fucking hysterical. No, all them dudes, they all said that they didn't go together, but I guess on the vaccination card it said it was like the same time, same place, same person. And I guess they were kind of like, oh, it's kind of weird. You guys didn't run into each other. You went to the same place, got up from the same person at the same time. So they actually, that's how they got caught. They shot themselves in the foot when they were giving their testimony or whatever.
Yeah.
No, we went separately. We didn't go together.
I don't know that fool. So let me ask you guys, and I, like I said, we're not going to spend a lot of time on waivers, but if you are a playoff team, you lost some key players due to COVID or injury or whatever, are you interested in the Tampa Bay backups that are Justin Watson, Scotty Miller, or Jalen Darden? Eric?
You mentioned the three names I have no interest in. I would be much more interested in Breshad Perriman and Tyler Johnson.
Correct. Tyler Johnson being the foremost of those.
Yeah, it's between him and Perriman. Because Perriman, I could feel like could slide into the Evans role a little more, but maybe Tyler Johnson slides into the
Johnson's going to fill the Godwin role, yeah.
So I then you got AB coming back, too. Off. I kind of left those guys off almost assuming they're on somebody's roster by now.
In redraft, they're really not. I've been able to pick them up a lot. I've even been able to pick them up a couple places in Dynasty. But
All right, so do you have any interest in Tyler Johnson and Breshad Perriman, Eric?
Yes, I do. I would preference Perriman over Johnson, personally, but I would like to try to get both. Just because they got, I mean, you might be in it. Look, I just explained, dude. I got no Eckler, no Hill, no Cooks, like in the Superflex League. Like I might be scraping for a wide receiver.
Yeah.
And I might have to play one of them guys. Like I might have to play a Perriman. Like it could be a barren wasteland on my bench.
So what's
and they got a pretty they got pretty good matchups. They got Carolina and they got the Jets next week to close it out.
So let's just say you got to the playoffs on your Leonard Fournette, Kareem Hunt, DeAndre Swift stack. Are you spending everything you have left on Ronald Jones right now, winging a prayer?
Yes, sir. Absolutely. Especially if you were the Fournette owner. You're going out of your way to get Rojo.
I think you have to, but I really don't want to play Rojo this week. You may not have a choice, but I really don't want to play him against Carolina. But yeah, I mean,
I'm not that afraid of Carolina.
I'm not afraid of Rojo.
Yeah, I'm definitely not afraid of Rojo.
And how Arians is going to use him. He's only had, I was looking at this earlier, he's only had like more than six attempts like three times this year or something like that, or four times this year. But he's only been over 20% snap share twice. So they have not been using him. They didn't want to use him. So I'm afraid, and with them signing Lev Bell, they're saying, we really don't want to use you. So
I think Lev Bell is totally irrelevant. I think he's depth, personally.
I think he is too this week, but I mean, I don't know. It's just, for whatever reason, Tampa doesn't like Rojo. So hopefully
he goes out established. Yeah.
And has a great game. I think what you want him for is the championship game against the Jets.
That's the best matchup for a running back.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
Mm-hmm. So you have to try and get him this week because he won't be there. But I'm hesitant to start him this week. But you really may not have a choice with some of the names that are out.
And with the dinged up wide receivers, they might be a little more inclined to dump the ball off to him. Maybe more running plays. It's
possible.
To me, it's worth every cent you have to take a shot on Rojo.
Every dollar. He might be a league winner.
Mm-hmm.
And don't forget too, Giovanni Bernard's also out too.
It's
Keyshawn Vaughn's junk.
It's like, just Rojo and Vaughn right now. That's why they signed Bell.
Yeah.
Yeah, because as much as they hate Rojo, they hate Keyshawn Vaughn even more.
Yeah.
You think you're backing up, kid? Get back on the fucking bench.
I said this to somebody in one of my leagues. Keyshawn Vaughn's been bringing fucking Arians coffee in the morning and donuts and bringing him lunch every day all fucking year, and he can't get off the practice squad. So
it's actually hysterical because Dynasty Twitter last week, I was laughing. People were sending, sharing like pictures of snapshots of like their rookie drafts. Dude, people were taking Keyshawn Vaughn at like the 108. And then you look behind it, it's like Justin Jefferson, like just all these like Justin Herbert. And it's like all these guys, it's like, oh, that's got to hurt. There was another running back too who was doing better than I can't who it was. He was behind him quite frequently. But yeah, Keyshawn, the buzz was that high on that guy.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Coming out. Yeah.
But another guy that I'm actually interested in that might be on waivers, given circumstances, would be Justin Jackson. With Eckler probably going to miss. He's been reasonable in Eckler's
actions. Better than all the other guys.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And he's got a favorable matchup this week, which should be against Houston. So,
yeah, I'm probably leaning more towards Rojo than Jackson, but duly noted. I mean, it's not a bad point at all. Yeah. And
I would take Rojo over Jackson as well, like head to head. Like I would rather have Rojo than Jackson, but Jackson's not a bad backup, you know, secondary waiver claim or pickup.
Yeah.
We're talking about guys that are probably, like we said, have already been picked up, most likely.
Yeah.
I did not change the ESPN thing. ESPN did that automatically. They pushed the waivers off a day.
Oh, I figured. Yeah. Once Steven said it, I was like, oh, yeah, that makes sense. Yeah.
Which Sleeper did not, which I kind of found BS. But
Sleeper leaves it up to the individual league owners. Yahoo did it, I believe, in most of mine. And I know ESPN did it.
Speaking of Sleeper, can we talk about this fucking platform for a minute? Dude, it's getting so fucking annoying, man. Like, dude, the amount of fucking alerts I get on the daily basis, it's so fucking annoying. I mean, don't get me wrong, I want the player injuries and shit, but like some of them are just fucking nonsense. And now I have to deal with all these fucking alerts about the stupid what the fuck is their little
squads bullshit called? Thing or whatever
about the squads.
The squads. Yeah. Oh my God, dude. Now I get three fucking squads alerts a day. Like, oh God, cry me a fucking river. I'm ready to get off this platform just for that. Honestly, the amount they blow up my fucking phone, I don't know if I can take anymore. Like, it's driving me crazy. It really is.
I've had the alerts off for 3 months.
Well, you can turn the squad. You can go in and turn off squad notifications so that you don't get those. You can turn off some of the scoring, game starts, shit like that. I mean, there's a lot of stuff you can turn off.
Yeah, they don't make it that easy to get to, though.
Yeah, if you go and just hit your little icon, your character icon on the bottom.
Yeah.
When you're at the league screen, just hit that and then go to notification settings.
I'll be honest though. I am thinking about Goodell and the move to Sleeper in my league. I'm done with ESPN.
Oh, ESPN's worse, for sure.
I've had a lot of issues with them this year.
Sleeper is a better platform. Like, the notifications are annoying, but it's a better platform for sure. Yeah. It's not even
close. You can turn them off, too. Because I, like I said, I turned them off. I just left them on for the fantasy. Even the fantasy ones kind of get annoying. But they're kind of cool. Like, sometimes I'm like, oh, it's, you know, you get to know, like, oh, shit, nice. You got a touchdown. Or, oh, he just made a big play.
Yeah. Reception for 21 yards. You know? Like, ooh. Are they going to have a ticker tape parade in Minnesota because Justin Jefferson caught a 21-yard pass? You know? Yeah, so like the big play ones kind of bother me. I wish I could narrow it down to just the touchdowns. I hate that I get the game day chat open. You know, that one bugs me. And the way they set up the notifications for chat in the leagues, that bugs me too. I should get one notification that says people are talking in that league. I should not get one for every single message that gets sent. It's like, so Rockstar starts talking to Schmitty. They're having a conversation about God knows what. And my phone goes off 27 times in a night. You know what I mean? And it's like, I don't like turning the notifications off because then I forget to turn them back on.
And when I got up Monday morning, I had 437 missed messages. I don't fucking feel your pain. Because between Rockstar and Joey and the listener Redraft and Rockstar and Joey and a few other people in a couple other leagues and a few of the other chatty leagues that I have, Sundays are fucking, I probably get over 1,000 messages. So you're preaching to the wrong person here, man.
Yeah.
Because you can customize a lot of that. It takes time and it's a pain in the ass to get to some of it. But
so yeah, I got it set
to, I think I only get alerted if I get tagged.
Yeah. So that's the way, well, like, I don't want to have to be tagged, you know, like I like being part of the conversation. I like seeing the conversation and deciding to jump in, and you know, but it's just, if you're in more than one league, it can be fucking brutal, you know. Mm-hmm. And you know, it's like, these are all minor things, like they're not huge, so I was hoping they would get ironed out in the next year or two, but now that they've developed this whole gambling side, I know they're not going to get ironed out because they're done with this free shit. They're going to put all their effort into that gambling shit.
Yeah, but they have,
it's going to make the money.
They have the stuff in place for you to turn it off. It's just, you have to go in and do it. Some of it's for each league and some of it's a general setting, but you have to do it on the app. You can't do it on the website. So hopefully they'll maybe add that to the website.
But anyway, so that's just my venting about Sleeper. But so Eric, you want a Goodell, the league move to Sleeper. Tell
thinking
me
about
why
it.
You prefer Sleeper over ESPN.
Because ESPN keeps crashing on me and it's happening all season. It runs like garbage. The only thing I like better on ESPN is the fantasy cast thing. But you actually, like, you kind of, it updates the game pretty quickly. You can kind of track it. But like, other than mm-hmm. that, it's a little still, I still will say ESPN is a little easier to use. There's not as much to it. Like, there's a lot to Sleeper. I think that's one of Sleeper's problems too. Like, I almost feel like there's too much to it. Like,
yeah.
Sometimes simple is better and
less is more.
Less is more. Yeah, that's a good way to say it too. Yeah. Like, I feel like they're doing a little bit too much, but there's so much more customization. The league chat, like, as much as annoying as it can be, is a nice feature. ESPN's is horrendous. Like,
terrible.
It's from like 1999. Right. It's a message board.
Yeah.
It's like, it's so archaic, like it's laughable.
Yeah. Before you can send a message on the ESPN app, please sign in with your AOL login address, you know?
Right. Pretty much it, yeah. The only thing I like about ESPN is the, I like the player insights from that are powered by Watson, not a sponsor. I like looking at some of those. If I'm on the fence about somebody, I'll kind of look at that and crunch some numbers that way. But, and then I like the one thing I've been asking about from Sleeper for a while is to be able to see on my team what my total fucking points are for a player so that I can compare them with guys on my bench on how they've done this year total over the course of the season instead of having to go three different spots to figure it out.
So by far my favorite part of ESPN, the app, is that I go to matchup. And guess what, guys? I just swipe right and left to see the other matchups. Oh my God, is that so much easier than all this crap with Sleeper? Because I noticed with Sleeper, I have a lot less league awareness. I don't really know who's in the playoffs, who's not, who's in first, who's in last. Like, I don't really pay attention. In ESPN, I tend to notice it a lot more because I'm constantly swiping through the matchup to see who's winning and who's losing, because I don't have to go to this league page and then click on the individual matchup and then go back and then click on another individual matchup and so on and so forth to see what's going on in the league. It's all right in front of me.
And if you don't click the versus just right on the league matchup, it brings you to just the team. And you're like, what the fuck?
I want to say that, like, when I first started using Sleeper 2 years ago, I want to say that the matchup page had a way you could flip through all of them, and they took it away. So that's something I would say would bring back. And even if they just give you a drop down so you can select each matchup, would be great.
Yeah, I would say that's my biggest complaint about Sleeper, other than the notifications, is that I feel like I don't have as much awareness with what's going on in the league. Yeah. It actually just hit me for the first time the other day when the games were over, the week's done, and I'm like, oh, man, I lost my playoff game in the Dynasty League. And it occurred to me, I had no idea who was in the playoffs. I could not name one playoff team to save my fucking life. And I was like, wow, like, I can't believe I never once paid attention to who were the front runners in this league. And, like, it hit me. It's because I don't pay attention to the matchups like I do with ESPN. I knew who was in the playoffs in the Degenerates League because every week I check my score and then I swipe and I see who's winning that one and I swipe and see who's winning that one. And, you know, it's just so much easier to keep track that way. I kind of do it as I go without even realizing it. And I would say that's definitely Sleeper's biggest flaw in my mind. It's a feature that I really enjoy on ESPN that Sleeper just doesn't offer for whatever reason, even though it's by far, it has to be the simplest way to do it. I feel like the way they're doing it is more complicated on their end. Yeah. But like Eric said, less is more. You know, I think they made it a little too complicated. They tried to add a little too much pizzazz, and something got lost in the process. But that's enough bitching about all these platforms. So let's talk a little regular NFL football. You know, the real NFL football. Eric, your Cowboys, 10-4. They are more or less cemented into the playoffs at this point. I believe they only need one more win rest of season to get locked.
So it's conflicting. Some places reported that they clinched the NFC East with the football team. Well, I'll get that right. It's only been a couple of years, eventually.
By the time you get it right, they'll change to something else.
Yeah, the Red Wolves. but then I saw some other reports saying that they did not technically clinch the division yet. So I don't know which one it is. They're three games ahead of everybody with three games left. Supposedly I read somebody had said they would clinch the strength of schedule tiebreaker over the Eagles, regardless of if they lost out and the Eagles won out.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, but it depends where you look. Some places say they clinched, some say they didn't.
If they win, well, because you can't really go by strength of schedule either, because the other the teams that are playing haven't finished their seasons either. So it's like if the Eagles opponents end strong, their strength of schedule goes up. You know what I mean?
So yeah. I think the Eagles,
well, they're 4-0 in the division.
Right. But if Dallas loses the next three and the Eagles win the next three, they have a better division record. So they would win the division that way. They would have a better division record than Dallas.
Yeah, I don't know all the fucking tiebreakers and shit. Bottom line is, if the Cowboys win one game from now until the end of the season, just one out of three, they're going to clinch the division. It's done.
That's all they got to do. They just need to win one. And they got Washington, who ain't looking too hot. They're playing practice squad QBs.
Do they play the Giants again?
No, they actually play Philly in week 18.
Who are they playing week 17?
Arizona. Much more vulnerable, Arizona, though. They have
much
not
more
been
vulnerable.
Playing well.
So, you know, obviously they're only one game out from first place in the NFC. You know, the Packers are 11-3. The Cowboys are 10-4. The Cardinals are 10-4. The Rams are 10-4. The Bucks are 10-4. So there's a bunch of teams nipping at the Packers' heels. I'm wondering, how confident are you in the Cowboys going forward? I mean, do you think they get a real shot to make a run at this, or is this kind of all window dressing?
I think they'll get out of the first round. I don't think they'll get the bye week. I don't think they're going to be able to catch Green Bay. They got a good conference record, which could come in handy. I believe they are 10-1. 9-1. 9-1 conference record, I believe. Mm-hmm. Which is why they have the tiebreaker over Tampa Bay and Arizona as currently. I don't see them making a run with the way that offense has been playing. It's been all defense for 3 weeks straight now. That, like, has basically won the games. Like, it's all good and well. The defense is clicking. You want a defense that's playing well in the playoffs, but there's going to come a time where the offense is going to have to step the fuck up. And they're just not. I don't know, man. They just don't look like the same team they did in September.
Mm-hmm.
They're just not. They're not in sync. I don't know if it's a play calling issue. I don't know what the fuck is going on. Dak doesn't look the same. The receivers seem like they're not on the same page with them at times. They leave Dak out the dry, but Dak also makes some dumb decisions as well. But like they have some issues with drops. CeeDee Lamb's been known to, you know, have brick hands every now and then.
Mm-hmm.
And the offensive line, you got a little bit injuries going on. I mean, so far they've been coming back, but.
So, I mean, I'm somewhat hopeful for the Cowboys because, like you said, the beginning of the year, it was all offense and no defense. And, you know, they were giving up points, but it didn't matter because Dak was outplaying everybody. He looked like an early season MVP candidate, for God's sake. And now it's all defense and no offense. And I'm like, man, if they can just figure it out and get them both firing, that team has a real chance. I don't think Mike McCarthy's the guy to figure that out. So I'm not optimistic.
I'm so optimistic. I'm looking for alternatives to play at quarterback this week in fantasy instead of Dak.
Yeah.
So they could find a way to lose all three games.
Steven, since you want to chime in, why don't you tell me about your New England Patriots? Right
they
now,
suck.
They are atop the AFC East. They are 9-5. They are one game out of the AFC bye week. Believe it or not, they're only one game behind the Chiefs.
Yeah, we had
The only other 9-5 team is the Titans, who they have the tiebreaker against because we whoop they ass. And you know, there's a bunch of 8-6 teams, but we'll see what happens with them. This week, we're playing the Bills.
Huge game.
Yep.
Oh, huge.
Huge. This is basically the division.
Exactly. Yep. So I was about to say, we beat the Bills 2 weeks ago in that crazy windstorm, 50-mile-an-hour winds. What do you think happens this week, Steven? Can they repeat, or do you think the Bills are going to overpower them when it comes to an even game?
I think we got the loss out of our way last week against Indy. I think that they come back and are able to take care of business with Buffalo at home, and they stay in the number two position. If they don't move up to number one, if Kansas City might lose to Pittsburgh.
I don't know, man. I kind of find it hard to believe, personally. I think the Bills are damn good. Better than they've been playing, anyway. And the Patriots defense is so overrated, dude. Oh my God, it's driving me nuts. Nuts!
Like, the Patriots are a good team. They're on the rise. Like, they're a playoff team, but they're not a contender.
I don't think they're Super Bowl contenders, yeah. But some, Belichick finds
some
a way.
Do. I know you guys don't. There's some people that do, and I'm like, I don't know what that happened.
But the Patriots goggles go thick around here, man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Bucks in the Patriots Super Bowl is what Vegas is predicting, most likely.
Yeah. Well, I don't think so, but I'll be surprised if the Bucks make it this year, the way things are going for them. Yeah. So
they ain't making it. I don't think they're making it.
You know, I think it's a State Farm Super Bowl with the Packers and Rod and the Chiefs, but we'll see.
Fucking hope not.
As far as against Buffalo, I think they can take care of business. Belichick knows how to shut down Buffalo. And we'll see how much COVID spreads through their team and how bad that affects them. So,
anti-vax Beasley is going to single-handedly bring the Bills down, baby.
Yeah.
So the Bills, like, I think they have Atlanta and the Jets, dude, left. Yeah. So that's what I'm saying. Like, if they beat New England,
it's all
that's pretty much the AFC East crown because, mm-hmm. like, those are two teams they should beat. Yeah. But
no,
stranger things have happened on week 8, you know, well, it used to be week 17, it's now week 18.
Right. We have
been some upsets.
We have Jacksonville and then Miami, so we should be Jacksonville, Miami. Who knows?
So, Steven, I'll start with you. If not the Patriots, who do you think wins the AFC, and do you think they're serious Super Bowl contenders?
Oh, it's got to be Kansas City.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if they're playing again like they're playing recently, there's not anybody that can really stop them. I mean,
and
the Colts,
Eric,
might give somebody a run with Taylor.
I was
going to
say the Colts are an interesting dark horse that I think could make a deep playoff run, mm-hmm. potentially beyond rounds 1 and 2. Maybe.
The Colts?
I think they can upset. Yes, the Colts.
I mean, are they even in the playoffs right now?
They're the 5 seed.
I think they're
8-6.
Clinging on to a wild card. They might win the fucking division.
They can win. Yeah, I was gonna say they can win the division because the Titans are only one game ahead of them.
Yeah, no, I know that, but I just didn't know. I didn't know if they were actually in the playoffs if it ended right now.
Oh yeah,
There's 1, 2, 3, 4 teams tied at 8-6. So I don't.
They have tiebreakers.
I don't even know what the tiebreakers are. So
they have tiebreakers over the Chargers and the Bills.
Okay. So Eric, I have the same question for you with the NFC. Who do you think will win the division, and are they? Who do you think will win the conference, and are they serious playoff contenders? Who do you think will finish number one seed in the NFC, and are they serious Super Bowl contenders? That is the way I wanted to word it. I don't know why it took me 5 tries, but here we are. Go.
Who do I think will finish as the top seed?
Yes, sir.
Probably Green Bay.
Are they serious contenders?
No.
Nope. Nope.
I don't think so.
How many times
are we
going to fall for this?
I don't get me wrong. Like, I got to give them some props. Like, they've had some pretty devastating injuries, like Jair Alexander. What's the other dude's name there? Steve, help me.
Something White?
Smith.
Or...
Za'Darius Smith?
Yes. Za'Darius Smith.
Yeah.
That was
like
close.
He's been, yeah. They've struggled. You know, I mean, they had no Rodgers for a game that ended up being a loss. So you wonder if they could be 12-2. So, like, I will give them some props. Like, they are playing well, considering they haven't hit it. But every team can say, yeah, we got hit with injuries, too. And it happens, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But I just see them closing it. I don't see it happening in the playoffs. The Rams, I feel like, are starting to click.
Yeah, so that's what I was going to say, is I think the Rams take them out in the NFC Championship.
I'm just sick of this rerun. Every fucking year. Oh, the Packers are so good. Oh, Aaron Rodgers is firing all cylinders. Oh, man, Aaron Rodgers is probably the league MVP.
Yeah, Brian, now you know how everybody else felt about the Patriots for the last 20 years.
But the Patriots won! They fucking won!
I know they did.
We do this every single year with the Packers, and every single year they fucking lose. Like, give up, bro.
Yeah, but they still get there. They still get to that one game.
Yeah, I know they ain't getting past that one game. They ain't going to no Super Bowl. They're going to lose the NFC Championship game just like they do every fucking year.
Who is, so we're 15 weeks in, who is the MVP frontrunner?
I think it's between Brady and Rodgers.
If you're,
I think
you're asking me,
it's Cooper
personally?
Cup. It's Cooper Cup, if you ask me. But
for fantasy or for the
for NFL? Anything?
Real
for
NFL.
League. Real NFL, right, I would still vote Cooper
Kupp. Real NFL, Cooper Kupp ain't winning fuck all.
No,
I can tell
he's
you that
not,
right now.
But he should.
It's not happening. The answer is Jonathan Taylor.
He's not going to win it.
Where would the Colts be without Jonathan Taylor? The fact that he's not being mentioned is criminal.
Yeah. I don't disagree with you. It's going to be a quarterback.
It might be.
It's going to be Brady and Rodgers right now are the front runners.
It's Cooper Kupp might have a career season.
Oh, yeah. I should hope this is his career season.
I mean, I'm talking legendary NFL season.
Than this.
What is the reception total record that Michael Thomas had?
180?
No, wasn't that high.
153?
151 or something like
that. Was it that?
I'll tell you in a second.
Something like that.
And maybe he
can't
catch that.
185 targets, 149 receptions.
Yeah, so he has 122 with three games left. He has a chance to break that. I mean, I know there's the extra game factor.
Yeah, the extra game don't hurt.
Will,
yeah.
People will use that against him.
Yeah, but...
I'm just saying, I think Cooper Kupp should be an MVP candidate. And he's another one who doesn't get mentioned.
Oh, I think he should be, but it's just, I'm just being realistic. There's no way a wide receiver wins that. Done.
No quarterback. And like, you guys can say, I don't think any quarterback's even a legitimate candidate.
No.
None of them I've been like, wow, this guy is having a magical season. Like, they've all had ups and downs.
Look at this guy
go. Yeah. Like Lamar, when he won it, that was a magical season.
Yeah.
It's like Peyton Manning, when he won it back in 13, like it was like, holy shit, that was a magical season. Like, that was phenomenal. Like, none of these quarterbacks are like sticking out to me like that.
I just, you know what? And it's like Cooper Kupp's having a good year. Don't get me wrong. Like, he's having a great year. Don't get me wrong. But no wide receivers ever won it since 1957. Ever won the MVP.
No, they don't.
So when Calvin Johnson doesn't win it for getting almost 2,000 yards in a season, and Michael Thomas doesn't get it for setting the reception record, I find it hard to believe that Cooper Kupp's going to win it when he's been really good all around, but he hasn't even broken a record yet. Like, and if he does, they'll go, well, they had an extra game.
Well, because I'm looking at Cooper Kupp's stats, all right? So, like, mm-hmm. He's averaging 122 catches. How many games have they played?
14 games.
So was that like 8.5 catches a game?
No, well, they played 15, right? Oh,
they,
no, by
he's
no,
played
14.
14 games.
So yeah, about 8.5 catches a game. So it's he's got a shot to get close to 150. He's had 90 receiving yards, I believe, in 10 straight games. He's gonna be close over 1,900, maybe potentially 16 to 18 touchdowns. Like, it's gonna be a good season.
Well, of course, I said, I'm not trying to say it's not going to be a good season. I'm just saying that he's not going to wow anybody. Nope. If Calvin Johnson's almost 2,000 yards didn't win it, and Michael Thomas's reception didn't do it, Cooper Kupp can't win it without breaking records. And like I said, even if he breaks a record, they're all going to point to the extra game and go, "That's why." You know what I mean? Like, I'm
he
not trying to take anything away
people.
From the kid. I'm just looking at it realistically, and I think there's almost no chance he wins it. None.
I don't think so either.
No, there's not, and I'm not trying to. I'm just making my case. I think he should win. He'd get my vote.
He should at least be in the conversation.
I would give it to Jonathan Taylor before Cooper Kupp. I mean, dude, Jonathan Taylor is ridiculous. Fucking ridiculous. He's already at 1,500 yards with 17 touchdowns.
Yeah. He's having a great season, too. They both should be at least in the conversation. But it's going to be Tom Brady. I would like to see Tom Brady.
He just got shut out.
He just got shut out. It's not going to be Tom Brady.
He's still got 300 more yards than anybody else.
Yeah. I don't think so. If it's going to be a quarterback,
Rodgers.
I think it would be Rodgers.
Rodgers' numbers aren't that great, though. Because I was just looking at it while we're talking. Rodgers only has like 3,500 yards.
Yeah,
his numbers are good. Well, what's Brady's name? everybody loves him now that he's not in New England. So.
Oh, no, sir. People hate Tom Brady. People love Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah. We'll see. See when the votes come.
Well, people, there are a lot of people that hate Rodgers, too.
Yeah.
That's true.
He is not very well liked, especially after his whole immunized fiasco.
Yeah. That's the best thing too. That Rodgers has going for him in the voting is his 30 touchdowns and 4 interceptions. But where he's almost 1,000 yards less than Brady passing, I don't see it.
Well, what's Brady rather see touchdowns?
36. He's 36 and 11. 36 and 11.
Oh, 11?
Yeah.
Tommy!
I know. I'd rather see Stafford get. He's 200 yards behind Brady, 1 touchdown less and 1 interception less. And he's been playing phenomenal.
I mean, let's face it. I mean, you want to talk about going for records with the extra game? There's a really good chance that Jonathan Taylor goes over 2,000 this year.
He could. I hope he does. I really do.
But and he might score 20-plus touchdowns.
Look at what Henry did last year, and he wasn't even in the fucking conversation. So
that's true. That's sickening, isn't it?
Yeah.
Can you say it out loud?
We talked about it earlier in the season. It's
you're not a quarterback. You ain't even you're not going to win it. Consideration.
You know, it's it the same matter. Thing is Easy. True with the fucking Heisman in college. Running backs get it here and there, but that's
it's what, a quarterback's award.
It's a quarterback's award, yeah. And Devontae Smith is the first wide receiver to win it.
Fucking how long?
In the existence of the award.
I thought somebody else won it before.
No, he's the first wide receiver to win it.
No, he can't be the first.
He's the first. It's fucking, it's absurd.
No, I'm Googling it. I need to know.
I thought there was somebody else.
I thought there was too, and I looked it up in the offseason around draft time. He was the first.
No shit. It's going the wrong way. We got Desmond Howard, Tim Brown, Eric Crouch, and Devonta Smith. So not many and literally none in my lifetime. Yeah, wow. Holy fuck. I didn't think it was that rare. But Anyway, so just to wrap up that whole discussion, my vote would be Jonathan Taylor. Eric, your vote's Cooper Kupp. Steven, your vote's Tom Brady.
My vote's Matthew Stafford.
Really?
Yep. I would like to see Stafford. Like I said, he's only like 200 yards passing behind Brady. He's got 1 less touchdown, 1 less interception. He's playing well. I would like to see the guy get an MVP award. He's been on a shit team his whole career. He's finally on a good team, and he's showing people what he can do with it. He's got the number one wide receiver in football. I mean, and we all think that the Rams are going to the NFC Championship, so I really think he should be in the conversation.
Well, I don't discount. I mean, I don't know, man. Has he really been that special? I don't.
The numbers are there.
I mean, don't get me wrong. They're good numbers, but I don't, like, nothing would that wows me. And maybe that's why I'm getting hung up on the quarterbacks in general. None of them are having wow me seasons. You know, they're not, none of them are that good.
None of them sticking out. That's what I said in the beginning. Like, it's like I said, like, circling back to Lamar in 18, like, that was a magical season. Like, you were like, holy shit, this dude that was amazing from start to finish.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And you can think of some others too. Like I said, Peyton Manning, his 13 came to mind. Brady in fucking, what do you call it there?
07.
07, yeah. Like,
and even last year with Rodgers, he threw what, 47 touchdowns or something?
Yeah, two picks or three picks or something.
Yeah, he had a great year.
I don't look at anybody ending the season at 35-10 and like, you know, 4,500 yards and going, oh my God, how does he not win MVP?
I would imagine Stafford's over. He's got 3 games left. I think he hits 5,000 yards. And I think he hits 45 touchdowns. Or he's damn close.
45? What?
That's only 10 more in 3 games? Sure. With Cup?
That's a lot.
It's a lot. It's a stretch, but I could see it happening.
And how, what does he have for yardage?
He's at 42.
Is he 41, 40?
41,
he can get 40. The 5. I could definitely see him getting the 5,000 yeah. yards. Especially with
but
three
that's
games
not,
left.
That's not quite the milestone it used to be, though. It's like, dude, up until like 5 years ago, there was one 5,000-yard season. Now there's like 8. You know, like it's just happening a lot more.
Stafford's done it one time in his career. He's been close, but he's only done it.
Yeah, with the fucking Lions.
Yeah, but that was with Megatron in 2011.
Yeah.
So nobody else is going to – Brady's the only other one that's close that so potentially could do it.
Hold on. Who does Vegas think is going to win the MVP? Let's go to the professionals, right? They have Aaron Rodgers at plus 125. He is the favorite. He has the best odds to win. Followed by Brady. Jonathan Taylor, third, plus 750. Matthew Stafford, plus 1,000. And Cooper Kupp is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8th, plus 3,500. A couple quarterbacks in between.
And I don't disagree with you. I think he deserves to be in consideration. It's just there's nothing about what he's doing this year that you're going to look back and be like, man, I can't believe he did that. It's just it's going to be a really good year.
Unless he becomes the first receiver to go over 2,000.
Even then, I don't know. I really don't. Like I said, even if he breaks a record, right? They're just going to go, well, he had an extra game. You know, it's like, I feel like he's too easy to dismiss. And I'm not agreeing with them. I'm just saying that's how it's going to play.
If he could do that with the pedestrian quarterback situation, he actually might get it. But he would have to break the single season reception yards.
Oh, for a second, I thought you were saying he had a pedestrian quarterback. I was about to rip you to shreds.
No.
Making the MVP case for the guy.
No, I'm saying
with that, a pedestrian quarterback play like Matt Stafford, you know.
Yeah. No, I'm saying that as far as what it's been in past years, where there's been a clear cut guy, it's been rather pedestrian this year.
Yeah.
Among the quarterback candidates,
none of them have been special. Yeah. And so, I stand firm. Jonathan Taylor, I think, means more to his team than anybody else means to theirs. I think that without Jonathan Taylor, that team would be a dumpster fire, and they would have a top 10 pick in the draft.
I mean, that could be said about the other three teams as well, so that doesn't help the case. But, I mean, we saw what the Packers are without Rodgers. We know what Tampa is without Brady. And you know what the Rams are without Stafford, so.
Well, quarterback's a different beast. Like, either you have a starting caliber quarterback or you don't.
It is.
And, like, don't get me wrong, those guys are better than just starting caliber quarterbacks. But, like,
I'm not trying to take anything away from Taylor. I agree with you. And as far as running backs on their team, he is far and above anybody else in the conversation. Like, there's probably 10 quarterbacks before anybody else.
Yeah,
And the same thing with could probably be said with wide receivers, as far as Kupp is far and away above the next person, as far as what should be in the consideration. Because I mean, he's just been absolutely phenomenal.
It's Cooper Kupp, tear break, next guy.
Yeah,
like, and I still bitch in that fucking group chat about trading Kupp for Jefferson. I'm literally bitching about trading the wide receiver 1 for the wide receiver 2.
Yep.
But it's overall,
it's 300 yards and 5 touchdowns difference.
He's been that much better than Jefferson.
It's like 100 points.
I think he's averaging like 7 points more points per game than Jefferson, I believe, in my league scoring at least.
Yeah.
I have had some pretty bad fucking calls on this show. I've never been more wrong about anybody than I was about Cooper Kupp. Never. And I hope I'm never wronger than that. I'll probably get kicked off the show.
I think we were all wrong about Taylor, too, at the beginning of the season. So we might as well fucking jump on that,
too. I thought
he was going
to be junk.
I was wrong to a degree. I said I would take him at the back of the first, and I kind of I made a lot of fun to people that took him at the front of the first, and they were right and I was wrong.
Yeah.
But I forget which one, but one of you was like, you couldn't, I couldn't talk you guys into drafting him. Which one of you
it was. That was me. That was me too.
I passed on him. I could have taken him in the Degenerates League, and I passed on him and took Najee. So that's how down on him I was. I just didn't expect – what I didn't expect was that Indy would be good enough and that they were going to use him in this capacity, and he would get all the touches. So he's
– that was my thing.
Right? Far and above my expectations on what they were going to be able to do with him this year. With Wentz being there and the timeshare and everything, so
I knew he had game breaking potential. Like he that was in his arsenal. Like he's a very explosive, quick, fast runner, and like he can basically any touch is
like he showed last week against the Patriots. He's like, 65 yards.
Yeah, like but I just I didn't like trust Indy. I didn't trust Indy to feed him like they've been.
Yep.
I thought it was going to be more. Like the typical, like 60, and then you got two other guys eating up 40%, whether you know, between like a Nyheim Hines and Mack. Like, I thought it was going to be more of a committee.
So that's what I was going to say. Was I think we were all relatively close on Jonathan Taylor, the three of us, and then they re signed Marlon Mack, and that's when you guys were like, nope, see you later, I'm out.
Yeah,
I didn't trust them. I didn't trust them to feed them, and they fed them. They've been feeding them. They're going to continue to feed them.
Yeah. So I mean, that's enough bullshitting. We pretty much just kind of had a little conversation for like an hour. We didn't talk about anything specific. Yeah. That was fun though. Hopefully the listeners enjoyed it.
Real quick. I don't want to get into a debate. I'm going to look at this timer. It's 54 minutes. If this goes by 55, I'm muting. Who's your fantasy MVP? Cooper Kupp. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's Cooper Kupp.
It's not even close.
Got to be. Yeah, it's got to be.
Because you probably drafted him in the third round, and he's been returning top five overall value all fucking year. Like he's outperforming quarterbacks at this point.
He really hasn't had a bad game. Like his worst game is like 11 points.
No, he's money. Money in the bank. Yeah. So it's Cooper Kupp. That's any other answer is completely I'm not even sure that question will make the award show ballot because it's so clear cut. If you vote any other way, you're just an idiot. You don't deserve to listen to us.
I was actually thinking about that. If we did put it on the ballot, I would just put Cooper Kupp probably. Or put him like three
times.
Cooper Kupp.
So speaking of the award show, we'll be doing the award show ballot. After the fantasy season has concluded, I know I'm still alive in one or two spots. I know Eric's still alive in a couple spots. Steve's still alive in a couple spots. Hopefully you
just
guys are alive as well. You know, speaking of the award show, actually, we had our Moran family Christmas party this past weekend. And friend of the show, listener, emailer, league mate, Connor, came by. You know what this motherfucker gave me for Christmas? An autographed
winning team?
I wish. That was good. He gave me a New England Patriots baseball cap signed by the Randy Moss. Okay? Nice. And he said, listen, I'll give you the hat. I just want to do a segment on the award show. I said, you know what? You got it, dude. So he'll be joining us for the ballot episode. He can give his input into the selections. And you guys will hear a little bit of that. Probably won't be on for the whole show, but at least some of it.
He just wants to. He wants to come. Oh, okay. He wants to just come and participate, record, hang out, shoot the shit with the boys. Okay. I thought you meant he wanted to submit like a. For a minute, I thought you meant that you wanted to submit like a question or something.
No, he wants to be famous. Okay. He wants to be on the show, and motherfucker, give me a Randy Moss hat. I ain't gonna say no, you know. So, you know, that's coming up. If you think of a question you want on the award show ballot, you don't even have to have the multiple choice answers. We'll come up with that. Send us a question. email it to dddfantasyfootball@gmail.com. We look forward to hearing from you. And obviously, we'll be posting this ballot, the award show, in all of the chats, all the leagues, and we hope to get as many of you to answer as humanly possible. I think that's pretty much going to wrap the episode. Eric, any parting thoughts for the listeners?
No, sir. Go. Well, yeah. Let me back up.
No. Yeah.
Good luck in the playoffs, especially this week. There was a lot of COVID.
Thank you, sir.
BS coming around. Like I've said, there's players every day. Eckler, no go. Kelsey, Hill, Brandon Cooks. There's a couple other guys I can't think of who I just noticed. Oh, Michael Carter. He's on the list. Like, there's guys literally popping up daily. And it sucks. Like, sure you does. Get this far, and like, that is going to be the reason you lose. Like, I've pretty much chalked up the Superflex League as a loss. I'm like, I'm done. My best running back, my best wide receiver, and arguably my best flex play are now out. Like, it's it. It's a wrap. It's over. Over. Done.
Like, yeah.
It's dude, just it's I'm just fantasy football at the end of the day. Like, it is what it is. Like, it's not like, you know, you get over it. I'm over it the next day. But
yeah. I mean, dude, I'm at the point where in that Superflex League, I literally am starting Khalif Raymond every single week. That's how bad the injuries have hit me. It's brutal. They've been so unkind this year, dude. And like, COVID at the end, like, of course, as we go into playoffs, COVID ramps up and just makes everything worse. But neither here nor there.
Now it's hitting. Like, now it's hitting. It's like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
Like, it really wasn't too bad up until like a few weeks back, a month ago, maybe a month. So you go back a month is when it kind of started creeping up, but
Steven, parting thoughts for the listeners?
Good luck in your playoffs. Make sure you get your guys in their appropriate slots, because as you saw last week, COVID can move guys all the way till Tuesday, and there's always the potential that they don't play. So make sure you have the flexibility when you need it.
Absolutely. So like I said, you have a question for the award show, a question for us, a question about the podcast, a question about fantasy football, whatever you want. DDDFantasyFootball@gmail.com or leave a voicemail 508-343-8010. We look forward to hearing from you guys. I think that's pretty much going to wrap the episode. There's not a ton left to go over. We're not going to spend time going over waiver claims and all this crap, because chances are, if there's anybody worth claiming, they should be claimed. You know what? Let me pause this quickly. What are you guys' thoughts on non-playoff teams making waiver wire ads? It drives me nuts. Why the fuck are you adding them?
If it's in redraft, there's no reason for it unless there's something to play for. Like if there's a booby prize or something like that for whoever.
Yeah.
Wins a consolation.
There's a toilet bowl. Yeah, I get it. I don't know, but then again, like, I paid the same money to get into the fucking league. Fuck it. Do what you want, I guess. It's kind of a, I guess, it's like one of them unwritten, like, douchebag moves. Like, really, bro? Like, you're doing that? Like, you're playing for nothing. Why are you grabbing Rojo? Because you're a dumbass and you didn't pay attention to your fab all season long, and you have $85 left and you're just going to blow it all to be a prick. Like,
right.
I guarantee you it's going to happen, bro. Somebody not in the playoffs, the last place team's going to put $90 down on Rojo and be like, yeah, well, I had the money. Like, well, what the fuck are you playing for, dude?
Final parting shot. Fuck you. Fuck 2021.
So I've seen it happening in the leagues that I'm in, especially on Sleeper today, like non-playoff teams adding players, and I'm like, what the fuck, man? Like, come on, dude. Like, you're not in it. Like, I've been out of the playoffs and listening to League A for a while now, and past the trade deadline I stopped making ads. I'm like, no, it doesn't make sense. I have one win on the year. I'm not going anywhere. Let a playoff team have them, you know? And
the only thing worse than non-playoff teams adding players is when they drop players that you know shouldn't be dropped. I've seen
exactly.
that happen. That's even worse.
That's way worse.
Actually, so Mr. Shane messaged me middle of last week and said, "You ain't going to believe this." I said, "What's up?" He said, "In the one of the leagues." And he goes, "One of the non-playoff teams just dropped fucking Mike Evans." And I was like, "Yeah, you need to contact your commissioner and like be like, dude, you need to reverse that immediately." This is before the injury, obviously.
Yeah, but yeah, yeah.
It's like, yeah, no, that's okay. A clear like, "Hey, you're number one waiver priority here. Take Evans."
Yeah,
I don't need him.
That's like, collusion.
Yeah.
And you know, obviously Dynasty is different because you get to keep them. They go into next year. So you should be allowed to make waiver claims whenever you want. Dynasty is totally different. This is obviously strictly redraft, but I've noticed it and it irks me. I'm like, dude, you're not playing anymore. You're already out. Forget about it. It's over. Drop it, man. Just wait for next year. You can draft him in the first round next year. It's okay. But he's not going to do you any good this year. You're not in the playoffs. Just let go. Let it go. Let it go. Yeah. But anyway, I just had to get that off my chest. So hopefully you're not one of those pieces of shit adding players to your roster if you're not in the playoffs. If you are, fuck you. And don't forget to send us questions. DDDFantasyFootball@gmail.com. Award show ballot coming in 2 weeks after the Fantasy Super Bowl. We'll be recapping all that for you, and we look forward to hearing from you guys. Have a good night, and don't forget to set your lineups.